Blog Talk Radio.
France has declared a national state of emergency and tightened borders after at least 129 people were killed in the night of gun and bomb attacks in Paris. 80 people were reported killed after gunmen burst into the Bataclan concert hall and took hostages before security forces stormed the hall. People were shot dead at restaurants and bars and by other sides in Paris. At least 300 people were injured. These are the deadliest attacks in Europe since the 2,400 bombings.
I want to say first off, we salute you as a nation of the United States for France's endeavor as far as what happened this past Friday. I want to say this is that we're taking this little, you know, a moment to show our true colors and show our support as a country of loyal friends. We have Dave Emanuel, who is also coming out of a very busy week. He was sworn back in as Snellville City Councilman of one of the greatest cities in the South. And we have also have one of the greatest, you know, legal people who are trying to help provide safety in Gwinnett County. We have Carla Brown, George Gwinnett State Judge. Carla Brown. I want to bring on Dave Emanuel, and Dave, welcome to the show, and then to give your intro to Judge Brown, please.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be here tonight, and as Tom said, tonight our guest is State Court Judge Carla Brown. Now, Judge Brown has served since 2003 and has brought a number of innovative solutions to the Gwinnett County justice system. Outside of her judicial duties, Judge Brown actively rescues dogs through her canine pet rescue program. Welcome to All About Gwinnett, Judge Brown.
Thank you so much for having me on tonight, Dave. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak, and I want to, again, congratulate you on your recent victory in Snellville.
Well, thank you. It was, as you know, it was a contentious election, and I'd just like to take this time to thank all of our supporters. My wife was very supportive, as was Carol Witz, Tom Witz's wife, who was elected mayor. And we had a whole group of volunteers. I'm not going to start naming them because we'd use up our half hour if I did. But again, my sincerest thanks to all of our supporters and to a certain judge who swore me in.
It was a pleasure.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. Gwinnett County, let's start with a little bit of background so we can get a feel for what we're talking about. Gwinnett County has several different types of courts. There's a magistrate court, a state court, a superior court, juvenile court, recorder's court, and probate court. Can you give us just a brief overview of what type of cases each court handles?
Absolutely, and each court is very distinct and very different. Let's start with probate court. Probate court, it always gets a few chuckles because of some of the variety of things that they handle. But probate court is where you would go if you wish to obtain a birth certificate for your child, if you needed to obtain a death certificate for a family member. If you wanted to get a fireworks permit, you would go to probate court. If you wanted to obtain a marriage license or a weapons carry license, you could get both of those at the same time at probate court. Next, I'll speak on juvenile court. Juvenile court handles offenses for children involved in delinquent unruly deprivation cases under the age of 18. They also have jurisdiction along with superior court on certain cases such as custody, child support, parental rights cases. And so they often work hand in hand with the superior court judges. The magistrate court is a court that handles a variety of things, particularly in Gwinnett County. They serve a lot of different functions for us, but they handle the issuance of arrest and search warrants, preliminary hearings, dispossessory matters. There's not a jury trial section of Magistrate Court, but they do handle civil claims that involve $15,000 or less that is being sought. State court, which is where I sit, is a court of limited jurisdiction. We cover misdemeanor criminal offenses and traffic violations. Those are both prosecuted by the solicitor's office. Rosanna Szabo is our solicitor general in Gwinnett County. We also handle civil actions, some which are quite complicated, unless Superior Court has the jurisdiction of the civil case. Superior Court is a court of general jurisdiction. They handle a little bit of everything. They handle all the felony cases which are prosecuted by our district attorney's office. Danny Porter is our elected DA. They handle all cases regarding adoptions, divorce, family law. Those are reserved specifically for Superior Court, as well as matters involving land. Both state and Superior Court do hear appeals from other courts, including Recorder's Court, Magistrate Court matters. So that's a brief rundown.
Okay, well, now your expertise is in state court. What types of cases are most common?
We handle a variety of cases in state court. We handle both civil and criminal cases. On our criminal docket, simple battery, often, unfortunately, involving family violence battery, and offenses of driving under the influence of alcohol or drugs are the most common cases we see on our criminal docket. On the civil docket, tort cases involving bodily injury, usually associated with automobile collisions, are the most common. However, we do see more complicated cases involving vehicular homicide, wrongful death, product liability, medical malpractice. They often take a substantial amount of time out of our trial weeks for us to try, but they're less common as far as the sheer numbers of cases.
Well, even though society has become much less tolerant of driving under the influence, DUI arrests continue to be made on a disturbingly frequent basis. Many times the courts are dealing with repeat offenders, and you've initiated a special DUI court several years ago. What was your motivation for doing that, and what kind of results have you seen?
Tremendous results. My motivation as a lawyer, it began then. It was really frustrating for me to see my own clients that had severe alcohol or drug issues, and they were not getting any treatment. They simply weren't getting any better. I could represent them. I could enter a plea. I could have a trial and receive a not guilty. It did not matter. They were not getting any treatment as a result. I saw families that were broken, lives that were wasted, and needlessly. They would do their time, but it had no effect on them regarding repeat behavior. And I realized something had to change. So the DUI court model was started back many years ago, and it is a tremendous opportunity for multiple DUI offenders to provide intervention. They receive intense counseling, treatment, supervision. And as a result, the recidivism rates are substantially reduced. One of the biggest things that is involved in a DUI court is offender accountability. And as a result of all of the factors of the treatment, the supervision, the offenders being accountable to themselves and to their families, it has become a highly successful program for the nonviolent addicted offenders. We now have thousands, literally thousands, of DUI and drug treatment courts in the United States, beginning with one back in 1989.
And have you seen rises or falls in an initial charge being for drugs or alcohol? Has there been any change in that lately?
I don't know that the actual numbers are down as far as how many driving under the influence of alcohol or drug charges are being brought, but I am seeing more and more people take the opportunity to get treatment and seeing maybe not quite as many of the high repeat offender cases as we've seen in the past.
Well, regardless of the type of case, or the court in which it's tried, trials can be very time-consuming and often involve a lot of waiting around. And that can be very expensive for someone paying an attorney by the hour, or even for the state when it's paying a public defender. Another program you initiated had to do with streamlining some of these court functions. Tell us something about that.
Well, I have to chuckle a little bit looking back on when I started as a judge in 2003 and just looking at how technology has changed. We all rely so much now on electronics as far as texting and email, and we really did not do that back then, even though it was available. But we were able to take some of that technology and slowly bring about changes. Online court calendars. Our court calendars now are published on the Internet. We send out emails to notify attorneys of when their cases are being tried instead of mailing out calendars that are pages and pages and pages long. We allow attorneys to make announcements by simply calling in or sending an email to us on whether or not their case is ready for trial. We have attorneys that travel from all over the state to come to court in Gwinnett, and instead of having to drive and stand up, make an announcement that literally takes about 30 seconds, they can pick up the phone or pick up the email and call or email us with their announcements. So using technology to really streamline some of the processes has worked great. Another thing that we've done in Gwinnett as a bench, and I can't take credit for personally doing this, but we have a new juror service program where jurors report for one day or one case. If you report for one day in Gwinnett County and you're not chosen, you have accomplished your jury service for that that week. If you're on one case and you try a case and it ends, you do not have to worry about reporting back for the rest of the week. And so it really has allowed us to free up the jurors and not keep people on hook day after day for the rest of the week. It saves money for taxpayers and also makes our Gwinnett jurors a lot happier.
Hey, Dave, if you don't mind, Judge
go ahead.
Brown, thanks
yeah.
for being on our show. We talked about the technology and talked about distracted driving. Have you seen an increase as far as texting and driving that is competitive with the driving under influence here in Gwinnett?
We have not seen a large number of texting and driving cases. We have seen a few, but part of the problem is proof in a texting and driving case. You may see someone driving down the road that you think either A, they're drunk, which used to always be what you would think, but now it's either A, they're drunk, or B, they're texting, or they're looking at their phone. But the proof on those matters is tough. Unless an officer literally sees someone texting, then they're not going to be able to make a case. So we see a few, but not a lot.
Well, let's look at another aspect of what you've been involved with at the state court level. Since you were first appointed at the bench in 2003, Gwinnett County has changed dramatically. It now has the most diverse population in the Southeast. That has to create challenges. And give us an insight into some of the challenges that I think a lot of people just don't realize what's involved when you have literally people from all over the world moving to this county.
It absolutely has presented challenge for the court system. We have, as you say, a tremendously diverse population in Gwinnett, and not only do we have that diverse population of Gwinnett coming in front of us in courts, but we also have people, of course, from all through Metro Atlanta that wind up in our court systems. Every person that walks into court has to be afforded the opportunity to have a fair and meaningful court proceeding, which means they have to understand what is going on. They have to understand the nature of the proceeding. This has resulted in a tremendous use of interpreters in Gwinnett County. We spend over $500,000 a year on interpreter services for Gwinnett. Spanish is our number one demand for interpreters, and we do have a great group of certified Spanish interpreters, but honestly, we don't have enough. We use 6 to 7 different interpreters normally a day that float around between various courtrooms, probably a minimum of 3 to 4 a day on a low day. But we have used in 1 year interpreters that can interpret 42 different languages in our Gwinnett courts. So it's a tremendous change that I have seen during the time I've been on the bench, and it's also a tremendous need for certified court interpreters.
And how does one go about becoming a certified court interpreter, just in case somebody is listening, and since the need is so great, maybe you can give them some guidelines?
Anything that I don't specifically know about, I always defer to Google. But no, there is a process that someone can go through. It is a testing process that someone goes through. Our administrative office of the courts would be a great contact point to call for anyone that was interested in becoming a certified court interpreter.
And we also have, I think you've probably had some cases where you had people who were either deaf or were not able to speak. How do you handle those cases?
It's a challenge. If we know in advance that someone is coming in, and that's often the situation, is we don't know in advance. So we don't have any notice that someone speaks an odd Chinese dialect that we literally cannot find anyone to interpret. We have a couple of things we can do. For someone who is deaf, then I have literally used an email in court back and forth between a person where the gentleman and I emailed questions back and forth to make sure that he understood the proceedings, that he had all his questions answered, and we were able to print out the email and make it part of the court record. Certainly that's not the norm, but we do try to get creative when we need to. If we have someone that has a language dialect that we're having a difficult time finding an interpreter for, we do have a language line telephone number that we can call that will provide translation services for just about any language or dialect that is out there.
So you can handle just about any situation that gets thrown at you. Let's take a step back a couple of years, and there's a big difference between being an attorney and being a judge. What inspired you to say that you wanted to change and become involved at the judge level rather than as an attorney?
There is a tremendous difference, and I believe that it is such a great difference one really doesn't know until you make the transition. I did have the benefit before I became a full-time judge in Gwinnett. I was a part-time judge for the city of Lilburn. I've actually been a part-time judge in the city of Lilburn since, oh gosh, around 1998. So I had a feel for what it was like to be on the bench, and I enjoyed the mediation or moderation aspect of trying to help sides resolve cases, and I realized that I very much enjoyed trying to help people. And as a judge, that is the greatest accomplishment, the greatest achievement, any time that we can help people. And often helping people doesn't mean doing something that makes them happy. Sometimes it means helping them through a difficult time or a difficult situation in the kindest and easiest way that they can get through it. I mean, let's face it, no one wants to go to court, right, Dave? I mean, no one wakes up in the morning and says, let's go to court today. It's just generally not a pleasant experience. And so I realized that I enjoyed making it as good of an experience for anybody that was in court as it could be. It is a challenge for me as an attorney to see all of the drastically different cases that I hear that come in front of me. I've been exposed to laws that I literally did not know existed. I have learned about banking laws that I didn't know were out there. It's just a real challenge to you as an attorney to really broaden your mind and broaden your horizons on things you've never been exposed to before. So it can be exciting. It's a great learning experience, and you never, as a judge, you just never stop learning.
David, you don't mind. Let me ask you, Judge.
Now, Tom's looking for tips for next time he goes to court.
Well, yes, you're exactly right. But the point is the etiquette of court. And Judge Judy, if you hadn't, watched her, she said, hey, there are 10 million people watching, and, I am the one up here, and, they don't pay me for looking good. But, it is a challenge for individuals who are either, a defendant or, someone who is trying to, chart someone, and it's intimidating. Judge, can you just say what is the proper way of addressing you, and to be, to be correct with you, without you getting upset with them, or they don't know how to respond to your questions?
Sure. Well, and I'll start off by saying, Judge Judy embarrasses me as a judge. You as a judge should never treat people in that manner, because the courtroom doesn't belong to the judge. The courtroom belongs to the people that are in it. It belongs to the citizens.
Right.
So the citizens need to come in with the mindset that this is their courtroom, that the judge is there for them, for both sides. And to address a judge correctly is very simple. Just be respectful. Be respectful to everyone in the courtroom. We know as a judge that the two sides aren't agreeing, or you wouldn't be there. If both sides were in agreement, there wouldn't be the need to come into court normally. So it's not offensive to say, I don't agree with the other side. What is offensive is how people disagree with the other side, or how they disagree to the court. So it's very simple. Anytime you walk into court, you are respectful. If you have a hat on, you take it off. You say, Your Honor, and you address the court as you would maybe properly address your grandmother when you're with her at Sunday church.
That makes it easy right there.
See, that's what I'm saying. So now I won't be afraid, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah, now you know how to handle yourself.
But it is growing, and obviously, especially with the limitation of language, barriers and everything else, is something very, it's overwhelming. But again, like Jed said, just say Your Honor. I do understand.
Mm-hmm.
Question,
right.
Your Honor.
Right. And one thing we have to remember as a bench, too, is especially when we start talking about diverse populations like we did a minute ago, you have people from other countries who their court system is nothing like ours, and they are literally frightened to death for good reason sometimes, because going into court in their country, they could not walk out. So we have to be mindful of that there are many different things going on in someone's mind when they're in court.
Let's change the subject a little bit. In addition to your day job as a judge, you have another occupation, rescuing dogs. You started Canine Pet Rescue specifically to give temporary homes and find a permanent home for dogs. When did you start Canine Pet Rescue, and what prompted you to make that time and financial commitment?
Well, lawyers like to talk, but now you have a lawyer that likes to talk about dogs, so now you're in trouble.
We're in trouble, Dave.
I know. We're running out of time.
I started Canine Pet Rescue in 2009. I've been in dog rescue all my life. I was one of those kids who wanted to bring every fuzzy thing home possible that you could. So I got it honest. One of my uncles gave me the love for animals, and it's lasted with me. I was doing rescue through some groups that did all-breed rescue, which means they handle all breeds. I wanted to focus on German Shepherds because I saw the need for them was very high in our area. German Shepherds are not always easy dogs, and when you take a German Shepherd that has grown up to be about one or two and no one has provided it any direction, any training, any structure, then they can be very difficult, delinquent children. If they were in the court system, most of them would be going to juvenile court. So I basically opened a juvenile court for German Shepherds. I love the breed. They have given our country so much in service and continue to. And they are exceptionally intelligent, and they're exceptionally sensitive, which means they do not do well in shelters. They are often mistaken for being aggressive when they are often just frightened. So in seeing all this, I saw the need and jumped in. And be careful what you ask for, because it has really taken off, and it is amazing. We rescue between 70 to 100 German Shepherds a year. We bring them in, we get them healthy, which often involves months of treatment, sometimes surgeries, intensive training and socialization, sometimes redirecting some destructive behaviors, We work with them until they're ready for adoption, and then we put them in permanent homes after the adopters have completed about a seven-page application that involves personal references, a vet reference, and we also go to the adopter's home prior to placing the dog in their home. We also stay with the dogs for life, so with 6, 8, 10 years from now, someone has a problem and they cannot keep their dog for whatever reason, we are always here. We're here for the lifetime of the dog. So it was just a passion that I felt a need for, and the more I've gotten into it, the bigger need that I see there is.
Well,
that's interesting.
Let me just say this to you. I Tiger was my German Shepherd when I was growing up, and my dad started breeding, you know, complete white German Shepherds, and I was with I was a stockbroker, and took a little white German Shepherd puppy, you know, and we had a condo, and, you know, thought that was a great idea, but anyway, as he started to grow, we have a red bandana on him, and here was he and my roommate, and we'd be sitting on the sofa watching the news, and he would lean up on his hind legs with his bandana, his tongue out, and watching TV with us.
Like
and his name was Sabian. And it was just a marvel, but there are, you know, great, great breeds of dogs, and I want to commend you on what you're doing with that. I did look a little bit, and you're talking about how can people, as far as for Christmas, now, there's a difference between, you know, giving away dogs for free, or there's a whole enormous and monumental difference between finding a home for a German Shepherd or any kind of, you know, breed. Can you go through how, you say there's seven pages that they go through, how can you identify a home for a new doggie?
What we do is accept applications from people that are interested in adopting. We have a website. It is caninepetrescue.com, and canine is the word spelled out, C-A-N-I-N-E, so caninepetrescue.com. And on there is our adoption application. So much like a lot of other German Shepherd rescues, you can go on the website, fill out an application, and submit the application. And then once the application is submitted, we process the application, approve the adopter, and then match the adopter up with the dog that fits them. A lot of times people will apply for one dog they see on our website, but we understand or we know that dog very well, and we realize that dog is not the right one for that family. But we have other dogs that would be, and so it's a matchmaking service, and we play matchmaker, and everybody falls in love and lives happily ever after.
Well, they are a great breed. I've got two German Shepherds, and one of them has learned how to open the windows in the car. He loves to have the window open, and they're power windows, and I'll be driving along, and I'll hear the tap, tap, tap on the armrest, and he keeps hitting it with his front paw until the window goes down. And he's done that on three different vehicles.
Smart. They are smart. Yeah. And I have to say, my two have been wonderful tonight and have been quiet while we have
Can you give their names, please, Judge?
I have my older Shepherd is 11, and his name is Vero. And my younger Shepherd is 3.5, and his name is Flax. And they are both Schutzen competition dogs, and they are wonderful, wonderful specimens and wonderful friends and just my best buddies in the whole world.
That's great. Yeah, they are. For some reason, we always wind up with large German Shepherds, and our younger one is about to be 4, and he's 135 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
And, they I don't know why, but every German Shepherd we've had has been well over 100 pounds. So
that's a big one.
But they are great dogs. His name is Rommel. Named after the German general, and the other one is Bandit.
Okay.
And he's 13.
Oh wow!
So
yeah, I had Tiger, had Bo, had Beth, had Sabian, you know, grew up with dogs and. You know, it's sometimes, you know, they might have a bad rapport or a bad, you know, expectation as far as these big dogs. But, Judge, aren't they, once you train them and once you get them at an early age to train them how to be with your, you know, family, they're just gentle giants, aren't they?
They are incredibly gentle with their family. They seem to understand many things even without being taught, just by repetition and nature. But they are extremely loyal and extremely protective also. So they are good dogs for families. They're great dogs for families with children. They just need to be given the right training and direction.
Well, Judge, can you give your contact information as we come around to the end? And I would love for you to come back and maybe talk more about, you know, the idea of a gift and some of the gifts that we get, you know, during the holiday season. Are some gifts that you know, break by the time it's New Year's Eve and before you go back to school. But, a nice little puppy will be there for your young ones for years to come. Can you give your contact information on both sites, as a judge and as, you know, volunteers or as, you know, people who are looking to, you know, adopt a puppy dog?
Absolutely. I would be more than happy to. So in the legal realm at the courthouse, my email there is very simple. It is carla.brown@gwinnettcounty.com, and Gwinnett is G-W-I-N-N-E-T-T, county, and county is all spelled out, .com. So carla.brown@gwinnettcounty.com. And my email for the rescue is carla@caninepetrescue.com. And again, canine spelled out caninepetrescue.com. And the email is absolutely the best way to get me. But my cell phone is 770-307-6057. If you can ever track me down on that, I'm more than happy to talk. And those are, that'll get me. If you can't get me at one of those three, then I must be out of the country or asleep for a very long time.
You're walking the dog.
That's right.
Walking the dog.
But I would love to hear from folks. We always need volunteers at the rescue, and it's a great opportunity.
Please talk about volunteering at the rescue. Can you say something about that?
Oh, we have a tremendous need. Our rescue relies on foster homes. We actually also have a kennel facility. It's much like a commercial boarding facility where you might take your dog for the holidays. We have 7 runs that have a 5x10 indoor heated and cooled with music area, country music, of course, and a 5x10 outdoor area. Weather permitting, the dogs can go in and out all day long. There's also a big play yard in the back where they get to go several times a day. We have volunteers that come 3 times a day to the kennel to help feed the dogs, clean up after them, take them on walks, throw balls, play with bones, and just give the dogs some great attention and also some training. We have folks that come out 8 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and again 9 o'clock at night to tuck them in and give them a little midnight snack. And we very much need volunteers. It's a great way to give back to the community, to give back to animals in general, and we have a good training process so that people are comfortable when they come out and they're dealing with the dogs. So we'd love to have volunteers. We also have some events that we attend throughout the year, and we need help with that, help with transporting dogs, help with adoption application processing. Foster homes are desperately needed for all rescues. There's always a need for that. So there's many, many ways. And, of course, we fundraise several times throughout the year, and that's what keeps us going.
Now, let me ask you, where is your location as far as your kennel is concerned?
Our kennel is located in Decula.
And is that off of the Highway 29?
It is near Highway 29 and Highway 316. It's right off Highway 316. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, Dave, can you give your contact information? And
sure.
You know, listen, we're all just shepherds.
That's true.
I was just looking at the website. There's some really attractive dogs available for adoption. So anybody wants a German Shepherd, there's some good opportunities. Might want to contact Canine Pet Rescue for them. You can contact me at demanuel@snellville.org. That's D-E-M-A-N-U-E-L at snellville.org. Cell phone number is 770-262-2115. And one of those two places,
Judge,
you can almost always get me.
Brown, obviously you've gone through campaigning situations just like David Manuel. Now, he and Tom Woods, they've gone through a very sturdy one this past, few months.
Correct.
And only you would know that, they will throw stuff across the wall to try to make it stick. But the thing, most important thing is I want you, if you can, to can you give, because, Dave is a bashful one, and, I'm so proud of him to be reelected. Can you give him a little compliment and his wife, Tom Woods, and his wife for, the endeavor that they've gone through, and only a judge like you would know?
I have had the pleasure of getting to know both Tom and Dave, and have followed closely the campaign season, and was, like most people that have paid attention to Snellville, really wanting peace and unity for Snellville. We have enough going on in the world, especially here lately, with everything, unfortunately, that we've seen happening with our family in France, that we don't need to fight amongst ourselves. And both Dave and Tom and the rest of the council, and Roger and Bob and Barbara, it's just an amazing group of men and women that have come together for the common good of the community. And I'm proud of what they're doing. I'm proud of the race that they ran. They kept their heads up and kept looking forward, and when all the fury was flying about around them, they really just stayed the course, and I'm really proud of what they've done, and I'm very excited about what they are going to do for the city of Snellville.
Dave,
well,
stop
we
crying.
Thank you for that. we
can
thank
you,
you for
can
that.
Can you close
and
out your show?
Sure. glad for anybody who joined us this evening, and the show is obviously recorded and will be available on the internet. So anytime after tonight's broadcast concludes, you can just click on the link and you'll be taken to the recorded version of it. And we also have a number of our other previous shows are available. You can go to the website cuttothechase.com, that's cuttothechase.com, and there's a page there that lists all the previous shows. So if you have anybody in particular you'd like to listen to, you can always find the link there. You can also find a link on, takes a little bit more searching, but on my Facebook page, that's Dave Emanuel Council Member. You can just do a search on that on Facebook and scroll down, and you'll see links to all of the previous shows. So
you can also go to
googleourtown.com.
I have the news license for Latonia, Stone Mountain, Snellville, Duluth, Lawrenceville, and Loganville, but the whole state of Georgia for topics, banking editor for topics, CNN, CNN International. But I want to just say this to you, Dave, and to, Tom, and to all the volunteers, and to your wives. You're taking the time out. And Judge, thank you so much for being on our show, because he has already put in 70-plus hours this week. And he is the one, the show about all about Gwinnett. And so are you, Judge. And this is what we have to do, is not be afraid to help each other in Gwinnett County and show, because bad news sells newspapers and TV commercials. The bad news about France is bad, but the things that we're trying to do in Gwinnett is to show the world this is how we come together, like on a payday candy bar.
Absolutely. Okay. We have tremendous and fantastic positive things happening in Gwinnett, and I'm excited about the future of the county, and happy to be here with both of you, and happy to hear the positive things that you're both saying.
And now, are you available for motivational speaking? Do you go to schools, or do you have any workshops or anything?
I've never had a workshop. I I've never thought that many people would really be interested in what I had to say. But I certainly am available if someone
would
like
to. Well, I tell you what, you got about 450 people listening to you.
Fantastic. Well, I hope that they're enjoying it. But, no,
hey,
I would
200
I
want the same dog I want.
I love to go out and meet people and talk with people. So, yes, I certainly would be available if anybody would like to have me out.
Well, thank you all so much for being on the show. Dave, go ahead and give us just a close, please. Thank you so much, sir.
My pleasure. We're going to take a little bit of a walk outside of Gwinnett County next week. So we'll have a returning guest, and I think we'll have some really interesting conversation about what's going on in DeKalb County, which never seems to be a boring place by any stretch. So we can look forward to speaking with Nancy Jester next week, and that will be 6:30 Sunday night, and we'll talk to you then. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks so much. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, hey, can you come back?
Would love to.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome, Tom. Good night.
Have a great night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.